Love is as strong as death. And the Bible says that love is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. And then it tells us that faith worketh by love. You know, a little child, if you want to get his confidence, you just do something good to him. Let the daddy and mother be kind to him. And when they keep giving to him, the more that they give to him or the better they treat him, the more confidence he has toward them. And the more he feels that he's going to get what he asks is for. See, faith works by love. And God has so loved us, even while we were yet in our sins, that he gave his son, the dearest thing to his heart, to die for us. And the Bible says, surely the goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. So then, God being so kind to us, loving us, Paul said, the love of God constraineth me. And being so kind to us, then this just causes our faith to blossom like a rose. We just get the feeling that he loves us, he cares for us, and this builds such a confidence in our heart that we just know that he's going to listen to us and give us our desire. Having given Jesus the best thing that heaven could afford, shall he not freely with Christ give us all things? And the Bible said he hath given us all things that pertain unto life. Whatever your need is, God has given it to you. Whatever your need is, whether it's health, whether it's finance, whether it's peace, strength, whatever it might be, he's given it to you all through Christ Jesus. Let's sing that little chorus.
I love him.
Can you sing with me?
I love him. Oh, because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
You can be seated. I want to say again, it's our pleasure to be here. We count it a real privilege and pleasure to be in Jeffersonville, Indiana. Some of the sweetest people in the world are here. I've met some wonderful people in Jeff. And in Jeff, as it is around the world, there's quite a variety as to what people believe. This is not unusual because around the world today, that's the way it is. And the Bible teaches that every man's ways is right in his own eyes. And of course, it has to be that way to this extent that a person has to fill out life for themselves. They have to try to figure out life for themselves. They have to try to understand, and of course, they've got to have some stability of mind as to confidence in what they're doing, or they couldn't continue in life. So that's to be understood. But at the same time, the Bible teaches there is but one way that is right. And Jesus said, I am that way. So then we know the way. We know the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by him. So then as long as we are with the Word of God, then we know that we are right. And I know when I say that there is, as is called, the Word of God in many forms. I've been into India and been around the world. And sometimes it's shocking when you go there and you say, now I'm going to preach the Word to you folks. And if you've never had this experience, it's shocking. Because all of a sudden you come to realize that the Word of God to them is the Koran or some other book, you know. And then we think we'll enter into a dispute with them. Then you come to realize that from the time that they opened their eyes as a little child, they've been among those people of that nation, and just as quick as they could understand the Word, they were taught this, and they are just as convicted in their God as they don't know anything else. And you find yourself between the rock and the hard place. I remember ministering to some Muslims, and these were great men in their country. One of them there in India, a great philosopher and a professor and a rich man and a wealthy man, and another from out of Bangladesh, where they were trying to get us to go into Bangladesh, but over in Bangladesh, and here he was a man of renown among his people. And I started talking to them about the Word of God, and of course it was just, neither here nor there to them. They had met me, we'd become friends, and that was it. And as I talked with them, I couldn't make any headway at all. I mean, I just couldn't get anywhere. It was just, we respect what you say, and that's fine, that's great, that's nice. As though I was saying nothing. But after a while, I whispered a prayer, and I said, "Now, God, you said to go into all the world. And you said to preach the gospel to every creature, and these are creatures. And I'm getting nowhere. I don't even know what to say to these people." And the Lord said, "I'll tell you what to say." And the Bible said, "Acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, and He'll direct your path." And I began to acknowledge the Lord, and He began to speak to me, and He told me some things to say. And these things was concerning the blood of Jesus. And when I got through the way that He presented these things, they looked at me and they said, "Anybody ought to believe that." And they were converted and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's give the Lord a hand. Today, they still love and respect us. They want us to come into India, Bangladesh, and it's just amazing what God can do. But I thank God because, as I say, I know that traveling around the world, anywhere you go, that there's going to be problems, and people have different ideas, and each man has his own ideas about things. I have mine, and you have yours, and the Bible said, "Let every man be, persuaded in his own mind as to what he wants to do, and working out his own salvation with fear and with trembling." But at the same time, it says, "Come and let us reason together." When we go to work out our salvation, we should be reasoning with God, and we should have a proven God. There's gods around the world, gods many, but to us there's but one God, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. To wit, that God, the Eternal Spirit, the Holy Father, was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world back to Himself, not imputing our trespasses unto us. And the Bible said, if any man deny that Christ is come in the flesh, then that man is an antichrist. So then we know that Jesus lives in the flesh. The Bible said, if you have not His Spirit, you're none of His. And if the Spirit be in you that raised up Christ from the dead, He shall by His Spirit quicken your mortal body. So then we know that Christ is among us, Christ is in us, Emmanuel, Christ with us. And we believe because of this that there is but one God. There is the Heavenly Father. This Heavenly Father is an eternal Spirit. He is the great light unto which no man can approach. The great eternal Spirit, the great light. When we speak of light, we have an allegoric type, which is the lights around us that strikes our eyes, and the 22 conductive nerves from the eye to the brain tells us that we see light. But that is only typical of the light, in that this natural light through the years has got brighter and brighter, as scientists say, toward the candle powers. Then you and I, gathering together as the light of the world, that is to say, the understanding of the Almighty God, God the Spirit, the great light. These candle powers and natural ways of life have increased till today we've got bright light. And you and I coming together as one candle to another, and the kingdom of God growing, this candle, the candle light has grown greater and greater. Jesus said, "Repent, strengthen the things that remain, or I'll move your candlestick." And the Bible teaches that the candlestick of God is the Spirit of man, God's Spirit within man, searching out the inward parts, for He desireth truth in the inward parts, desiring to purify our heart by faith. But anyway, God is the great light, and that great light is our Heavenly Father. He is the invisible God that you cannot see, you cannot feel, you cannot see. He's everywhere and He's nowhere as far as being able to touch Him. You cannot touch Him unless it is by faith through Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. No man cometh unto that light or the Father but by Him. And then we feel His quickening. And then we see and comprehend Him through eyes of understanding. So then children of light, they see God. And children of light, being bone of the bone of Jesus Christ and flesh of the flesh of Jesus Christ, members in particular, then they dwell within the midst of this light, which is called the light most precious, as to the city of New Jerusalem and the lively stone by which it is enclosed. So, Jesus, coming up from the dead, appeared to one of the disciples that He might say unto them something that would distinguish between the Heavenly Father and the precious Son of God. Thomas, when he saw Jesus, here these people cried out, a spirit. Thomas likewise was fearful, but he said, fill of me, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. That is to say, I'm the Son of God. I'm the Son of Man. I have flesh. I have bones. But he said, John 4:24, my Father is a spirit. He's the great light under which no man can approach, whom no man has seen nor can see. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, dwelling in that light, Jesus alone dwells in that light. And so then, you and I, being bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, as the body of Jesus, then we're made one with him. That is to say, his body. And we're all baptized into the membership of that body by one spirit. Of that is to say, my hands and my feet belong to my body because of the spirit of life which is in my body that knits them to me or makes us one. I say this sometimes, and sometimes people are made to wonder when we say this, but I say this, and this is true. Remember, in the days of Noah, there was 8 people saved as to the great deluge. Only 8 people as to Noah's family, representing the God family. And the Bible said today, this is as the waters of Noah to me. And as it was in the days of Noah, all flesh had corrupted its way before God. So it is in our day, all flesh has corrupted its way before God, and God hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. So then, when we come down to Sodom and to Gomorrah, then just half as many people were delivered in that day. And then, even after they were delivered, Lot's wife turned to a pillar of salt. But half of them were delivered, that's to say 8 people. And then there came another great change when they crossed the Jordan. Though there were many hundreds and thousands of people that came out of Egypt, yet when they crossed the Jordan, there was just half as many saved again, and the others were cut off. I know a lot of times, you know, we say that God would not let them enter into Canaan. And we say that God said, no, you can't enter in, because when they first come out of Egypt, they were to enter into Canaan, and they begin to murmur about the giants and the oppositions, and their faith was so little, so minute, till they didn't have enough faith to believe that they could face the giants. Remember? God called them to wander 40 years in the wilderness. And then we take it within our thoughts that after the 40 years, God being kind and merciful, he took them into Canaan. But that isn't it at all. As a matter of fact, he swore in his wrath because of their unbelief that they should not enter into his rest. And so then instead of carrying them in, he cut all of them off, including Moses, and only Caleb and Joshua went into Canaan, and the people that went in with him was the children that were born and reared up during that time that followed them into Canaan. The elders died in the wilderness, showing us that as a typical thing that the firstborn doesn't make it in. He's smitten. He's smitten that which is of Adam, as in Adam all die. In Christ all are made alive as to the new birth of the children going into Canaan. Such as it is in this very day. It's the same way in this very day. All of the people of the world are dying. Thousands and thousands and tens of thousands are dying in their sins in a wilderness wandering of intellectual concern and gullible desire of the tangible sources of life. Whereas the Bible says, if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father isn't there. And so then, they didn't go in. And people today, in their unbelief, are not going in. They chose the world rather than God. And there is the world, a natural world for natural people. And there is a spiritual world for spiritual people. And Paul said, be ye not conformed to this present world, but rather be ye therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind, and that to the other world, to prove that which is acceptable before God. And make no provision for this world as to fulfill the lust of the flesh, but rather, give your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service, to cast down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity to the knowledge of God every thought unto the obedience of Jesus Christ. to meditate in His laws day and night, to pray always that you might be counted worthy to escape the things that's coming on this world. For the tribulation period is just about upon us, and the Bible said in that day there'll be no healing medicine. In that day, men will gnaw their tongues for pain, and they'll seek death and can't die. It'll be a horrible time, even in the latter time, that young men's hearts shall fail them for fear of looking after those things that's to come upon the world. So then we see, as I started to say here, that there was eight people, and then the next was four people, and then the next was two people, and then came Calvary. And when Calvary came, it was cut in halves again, and there was just one person, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Bible said, the promise is not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, even Christ in you. He's the hope of that glory that He appeared in on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses and Elijah. So then Jesus alone, the Bible said He is heir to the glory of God. And you and I have no part. No one in the world was found worthy except Jesus. And the Bible said all has gone astray. Every man is turned to his own way. And God has laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. And He was the one that was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon Him by whose stripes we're healed. So today the only way that we can be in the kingdom is to be part of that body. Since God only made one heir, then it's through Christ Jesus that we come to the Father, and that we are one with Him by being born of His bone and flesh of His flesh. And other than that, there is no one saved. Let's give the Lord a hand, can you? So then tonight we know that it's not by works, it's by grace, it's by faith of Jesus Christ. We're sanctified by faith of Jesus Christ, and this was the dispute that Paul had with the Jews when they thought that they were special. And Paul told them, said, I've proven that both Jew and Gentile is under sin, and there's no difference between the Greeks or anybody else. That is to say, the Jews, there is no difference. And because there's no difference, if you're going to be saved, you have to be saved by grace. And the Bible said there is of Israel a remnant according to the election of grace. They shall be saved by grace just like everyone else. I know the Bible said God hath not cast away His people. If the head, that is to say the root, is holy, the tree is also good. But the thing is, He also tells us concerning Israel that out of Zion shall come forth the Deliverer, and He shall turn ungodliness away from Jacob, and the whole house of Israel shall be saved. As I said last night, we've been there six different times ministering to the Jews or whatever. A lot of our literature has gone there. And not too long ago, we prophesied down the street of Dolorosa as the anointing of the Lord came upon us, speaking to us that night, the next day, prophesying down the street of Dolorosa that the time was fulfilled. So from that time, they really had problems over there. But we're fixing to go in for the seventh time at the Lord's will. Now, I said that to say this, and that is that out of Zion shall come forth the Deliverer, and He shall turn ungodliness away from Jacob. And this is recorded in the book of Revelation as you read where the seals are being opened. And here the winds were held back until 144,000 was sealed, which means 12,000 of each son of Jacob, the whole household of Jacob. There Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, to reign as a prince, and his sons, or that is to say the 12 tribes, the 144,000, was sealed that the whole house of Jacob might be saved. And of course, the rest of them is, as the Bible said, the remnant according to grace. There's no way to get in except by grace. So, all of the 144,000, if you'll search it out, you'll find they come in by grace, just like you do. And all the others come in by grace. But we're told in the Scriptures, in the light of all of these things, that at the end time there would be wars and rumors of wars. I brought it out last night as to the sign of His coming. I didn't elaborate on it very much, but I brought it out as to the sign of the coming. And at the end time, the earthquakes, the beginning of sorrows, wars, troubles, tribulations, all of these things. And we spoke of the time of His coming. It is said here in the book of Revelation, if you've got your Bibles, you can read with me as we go a little further with it. The book of Revelation, it's the 10th chapter. And it's found in a familiar verse that perhaps you've heard read many times. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the Bible said, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. That is to say, that the Bible teaches that great is the mystery of God. And the Bible speaks of a time of this mystery being finished. And then we ask the question, what is this mystery? It is the mind of God that was put in Jesus Christ. That was to be given to the church. It's called the treasure. Now is made known to the church after Calvary. The manifold wisdom of God, this heavenly treasure, this knowledge that's in earthen vessels, that's within you and I. For now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God. And all of this greatness has been hid through the years. God has brought it to where you can and I can have it. Because the thing that's going to bring us into that great light, into that Godship, or into this wonderful mystery is faith in Jesus Christ and the knowledge of God that will change us into this glorified body that will eternally exist. So then we find that God has created the heavens by His Word. He created the stars by His Word. He brought everything into existence by His Word. He spoke us into existence. And the Bible says that He upholds all things by His Word. So then it's by the mighty Word of God that when we mix faith with it, that things begin to happen. And the Bible teaches that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Or to 1,000 generations, His Word is the same. He never changes it. So if the Word tonight is to you, as they say, 32,000 promises within this Bible or within this book, then that means tonight if you mix faith with it, you get the benefits of it. It was said concerning Israel that they had the Word, but not being mixed with faith, it did not profit them. I said to you at the very beginning that God has given you all things that pertain unto life. Everything that you need as to health and strength, prosperity, blessing. I would above all things that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospereth. It hinges on your soul prosperity, the threefold blessing of God. And that blessing is, I would that ye prosper, or that you could have houses and lands, that you could have those things that are necessitated to life. I would that ye prosper to have that natural blessing, he said. And I would that ye had a physical blessing, that is your health, as to enjoy the natural blessings of life. I would that you had this as the second benefit of God. And then the third blessing of God is that your soul prosper. See, that is to say, I may have the natural things of life, and I may even go so far as to have the physical blessings of life, but that doesn't take care of the situation. If I don't have soul prosperity as to an eternal source of life, that is to say, God giving me this eternal source of life as to secure my natural and physical blessings, then I lose them to the devil. I must have, first of all, my soul security, and then all of the other things are added unto me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. And so then when we follow God, what does He do? He said, I will make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. Whatsoever you do shall prosper. Ye shall be like the tree that's planted by the water to bring forth your fruit in your season. Your leaves shall not wither. Whatsoever ye do shall prosper. And then He said, I will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob. My blessing will make you rich and add no sorrow. For it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. And I will set thee on high above all people. And they will be afraid of thee because thou art called by my name. Isn't that right? When you see a person that don't prosper, they may come to you with all kind of sayings and all kind of things and pity themselves and blame situations and blame everything else. But the Bible simply states that it is because they cover their sins. For the Bible said, he that confesseth his sins and forsaketh his sins, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But the Bible said, he that covereth his sins, he shall not prosper. I'm not supposing that worldly gain is godliness. The Bible says there's the people in the world that cheat and swindle and manipulate and whatever. There's the riches that comes from Satan. And the Bible said to suppose that riches, that is worldly gain, is godliness, from such turn away. You brought nothing into the world. It's for sure that you're going to take nothing out. But beloved friend, at the same time, there is a prosperity that's given to us in God or in Christ. And this is an eternal prosperity, that whereas godliness or the Bible as to the gospel is profitable for this world, for this life, and the life to come. So that you might have things here and in the world to come as to a sufficiency of your life. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right. So then we see here that there is something to the Gentiles, and it is said that in the days of the voice, that in the days of the voice, that when the mystery of God is finished, then the end should come and time should be no more. It's very obvious here in the scripture that Israel is sealed at the opening of the seals when the Gentiles go out. As the Revelation 4, when the door is open in heaven, at the end of the church ages, John sees this door open in heaven that Peter opened at Calvary when Jesus gave him the keys, saying, "Thou art the Christ," when he unveiled the Christ. As to say, the rent veil at Calvary. The Lord making in himself the door, saying, "I'm the door to the sheep." So then, here, John hears that voice, and the voice says, "Come up hither." So then John is caught up into heaven, and he sees this great throne. The Bible said, "And the throne was set, and the four beasts was around this throne." And then he saw the Lamb come, and the Bible said, "And the Ancient of Days that sit upon the throne gave unto him the book, the sealed book, and he opened these seals." Prior to this, the Bible said God looked through heaven and earth. There was no one found that was worthy to open these seals. I want you to think on that for just a few minutes. I'm going to talk to you a few minutes and try not to hold you very long. But remember, John saw this throne. He saw him that sat upon it, that was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. Beautiful. And then this book, this Lamb, came forth, took the book. It was said that no man in heaven and earth was found worthy to open the book and to look thereon. And the Bible said that John wept much. And the angel said to John, "Weep not, for one hath prevailed to open the book, even the Lion of the tribe of Judah." Then instead of seeing a lion, here come a lamb. And the Lamb took the book, and he began to open the seals. I want you to think on that. No man in heaven or in earth. There wasn't anybody in heaven. Nobody in heaven. The angels were not found worthy to open the book. That no one that had passed on was found worthy. Under the earth, there was no one found worthy. Within the earth, there was no one found worthy. I said to you, there was one left. Just Jesus alone was made heir to the glory of God, because no one was found worthy to be made heir. And here was the Son of God, and this Son of God took the book. No one was found worthy. Remember that as long as you live in this world. There was no man found worthy to loose those seals. But Jesus Christ began to loose those seals. And as he began to open the seal, then you remember the red horse, or the white horse, and then the red horse, and then the black horse, and then the pale horse. And you remember how that under the altars and the fifth seal, the souls cried out, and in the sixth seal, the heavens opened like a scroll. And then it was there that John saw this great multitude in heaven. Remember, he saw this great multitude in heaven. Just within, between opening of these seals here, at certain places, he saw this great multitude. And the Bible said it was a great multitude that had come up through great tribulation and had washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. Not as to the tribulation that was to come upon the Jews, but that was the tribulation such as the world has never known, never has been, nor ever will be. But this great tribulation, these people had come up through this, which meant the saints of God that's going through all of the pressures, Satan wearing them out and constantly oppressing them and fighting them, and they're killed all the day long, accounted as sheep for the slaughter. In this we're more than conquerors through Christ and the grace that he's given unto us. So then these had come up through great tribulation. The angel said, "John, who are these?" And he said, "Thou knowest." And he said, "These are they that have come up through great tribulation and washed their robes white. And they are white, clean in the blood of the Lamb. And these follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. The sun shall not light on them again, and he shall wipe all tears from their eyes. They follow him wherever he goes." John looked into heaven and saw this. Then at the same time he turned and he looked into the earth, and he saw 144,000 being sealed, because here the salt of the earth was fixing to go out. The church was fixing to go out. And all of a sudden something had to be done. Where the Bible said, "Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and notable day of the Lord coming, that time that shall burn as an oven." And so then we see here, he says, "And he will come to turn the hearts of the children back to the Father, and the Father's hearts back to the children, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Or that is to say, God said, I'm going to move. And just before the day burns as an oven, as to the coming of the Lord, as to the Messiah, as to the Jews accepting Him, He said, I'll send you the prophet Elijah. And the Bible speaks of Moses and Elijah during the tribulation period. That is their coming. And they're going to turn the hearts of those people, as to the Jewish people, those rabbis, turn their hearts back as to a spiritual concern toward the people, and turn the children of Israel's heart back to the rabbis. God said, I'll have to do this. If I don't do this, I'll have to smite the earth with a curse. Well, that is to say, the Gentiles are the salt of the earth. And if I'm going to use the terms as you do, rapture, if I'm going to rapture the church out, if I'm going to translate the church, then that means that the world will be left without anything, and the church will be gone out. And if the church is gone and the world is left without anything in it to preserve it, I'll have to smite the earth. I'll have to destroy the earth. I'll have to come and smite the earth with a curse. So at the same time, John, as I take this great multitude out, I've got to seal these that are in the earth, the 144,000, to where I can have somebody in the earth that will preserve the earth to keep me from smiting the earth with a curse until this thing is completely finished and brought over to the ultimatum to bring in the millennium of God. So then we see that God catches out the church. I know there's a lot of division among the people, and I know that some say they're post-millennials, some are pre-millennials, and some say the church will go through the tribulation, and some say the church won't go through the tribulation, and I'm not here to argue that point with you. I come to Jeff to try to win souls. But in preaching the gospel, the Bible said, he that God sendeth, he'll speak God's word. And speaking God's word, it's very obvious that in the fourth chapter, there's the door open in heaven, and John, symbolically of the church, goes up, and immediately the 144,000 is sealed in the earth to go through the tribulation period, that they might not be hurt of the locusts that are brought out of the earth, and of all the horrible things in the day when man will seek death. That is to say, in the time of the locust. So then it's very obvious that the church will be taken out, according to all that I understand of the Bible. The church will be translated. How will they be translated? By working their way into being good? Is the church going to keep on working and working, saying, wait a little longer, Jesus, and if you'll give us a little more time, I know we ain't doing right, but we'll get straight. If that be the case, then I say this, in traveling around the world, I find that instead of the people coming to God more, they're getting farther away from God. And instead of the church, that is to say the people that's in the church, instead of these people repenting and perfecting their lives with God, they're getting more worldly and more worldly. Jesus said, if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. For the Bible said the world is an enemy to God, and the people that have the carnal mind are enemies to God, and that they're taken into captivity at the will of the devil. So to be carnally minded or to love the world, you are the enemy of God. So it tells us that times are going to get worse, and says that wicked men shall wax worse and worse, and they are getting worse, to where you can't hardly walk on the streets anymore without getting killed or something happening to you. So that we see a terrible time. See, that is to say, the church isn't getting any closer. It's not perfecting itself as to the church in general, speaking of people that are in the church. See, it's not getting any better. They're getting farther away from God, farther away from God. So then, if we're waiting to be perfected and to come into a perfect end, that we're not going to drink and we're not going to chew, we're not going to dance with the other man's wife, and we're not going to frolic, and we're not going to enter into passions and the things of the world, then, beloved friend, we're getting worse all the time. And the Bible speaks of the time getting so dark that the very elect themselves would be deceived if it was possible. That religion would get into such close quarters as the different things being preached, that the very elect would be deceived if it was at all possible. So then we see that it's the end time. And we can tell that if God is coming back,
after a church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, and he certainly is going to have a bride like that, then that means that God is going to have to do something. God is going to have to do something. Someone would say, well, what do you think God's going to do? He's done all he can so far as dying at Calvary, made everything available to us, and man's got to do something about it. But still, the Bible does speak of the saints of God being wore out. That is to say, Satan working through the carnal mind, he wears the saints of God out. He literally wears them out. And then all of a sudden, the Bible said the saints arise and they take the kingdom and they possess it forever and forever. Remember, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached and men pressed their way into it. Remember that? The Jews said, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said, it's not given to you to know. And said, my kingdom's not of this world. You know, I've got some saints and they're of another world. The Bible speaks of the saints of God as you that dwell in heaven. Rejoice ye that dwell in heaven. You're not in the world, you're not in the flesh, for I've chosen you out of the flesh. I've hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the time of the restitution or the restoring of all things. So then, that means that there must be something that will be revealed to the saints. More than they've had, something must be revealed to the saints to bring them to a certain place of confidence so that they can, by faith, even as Enoch was, be translated that they should not see death and that they should come into the wonderful things of God. Now, I know that we stumble, we stagger along. I know that. But God has preserved something for the saints. They who are real, genuine saints of God, God has preserved something for them, and he has kept back the best wine for the last. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Can somebody say hallelujah? I made a prediction not too long ago. I said that the mystery is being finished in the coming of these things, that the joy of the Lord will be restored to the church. Now, let me tell you something. The joys of the Lord returning to the church, that's a big job. Did you know that? That's a big thing. The church has lost its joy. You know why that it's lost the joy? It's because it's catered to the world. And then condemnation has come into the heart. And in the condemnation has come into the heart, they are very sad because they can't believe in the goodness of God like they one time could. See, I live a clean life, a holy life, a godly life, the best that I know how. Trying to grow in his grace and knowledge all the time. And I'm sure that many of you that are out there that are, and those that will hear my voice are doing the same thing. Now, I'm not justified because I try to live a holy life, nor does it do me any good so far as my righteousness, because he is my righteousness. My righteousness is of him. The sanctification of my heart is by his faith. Being under the law, Paul said, shut up under the law. The law is a tutor unto the faith, which afterwards should be revealed, even the faith of Jesus Christ, by which we should be sanctified. That faith is here to the Gentiles in this day. Paul said, I am the overseer of the Gentile church, thus I magnify my office. So then, sanctification is by faith. Sanctified by faith. Justified by faith. Glorified by faith. For the Bible said, he hath predestinated, he is justified, he is sanctified, he is glorified. So then God, having done all of these things, if God be for us, then who can be against us? For who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? For you're God's elect according to what God foreknew. Before the world ever was, he saw you. And the Bible said all of his works are made known unto him from the beginning. He understands all of his works from the beginning. And he wrote your names down in the Lamb's book of life before your day ever came to birth. As the prophet said, all of my members was wrote down in his book. And he called me to be a prophet. And he spoke of Judas. And he said, let another his bishopric take before he was ever born into the world. And Jesus said, 12 of you I've chosen and one of you is a devil. And it was said of Esau and Jacob, the children having never done any good or evil, that it might stand according to election and not of grace, not of work. He said, and the elder shall serve the younger. And Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. The children never had done any kind of works, never had even been born to the world. So then the Bible says that these things were given to us in Christ before the world ever was, and then brought to light at Calvary as to the rent veil, or the opening of the great scene, as the rending of the curtains, the great drama, and so then preached to us down through the church ages as a sevenfold light, a dimensional unfolding, until Jesus himself stands in the midst of the candlesticks, brought to us, and then at the end of the church ages, a sevenfold light, as the scientists of this world say, when the sun comes out in such a great light as the day star and shall move away into a nova, the world going into darkness, and the Bible said gross darkness covering the people, and the church lighting up with this thing that God has for them, as to the revelation of God being given to them, but that is to say the revelation of Jesus Christ that John spoke of at the end of the Bible there. Oh, that is to say that this great light becoming sevenfold, and this heavenly treasure, as from the time of Paul on down, heavenly treasure, nothing vessel. And that every church age, we say church ages, there is no such thing as church ages, just like there's no biblical terms as rapture. But we say church ages because the teachings of Ephesus, Pergamus, Smyrna, the churches, these things relate back to the Old Testament, and they come up as an age from Pentecost on down. So we say church ages. That helps us keep our mental balance in the thing. So then the church age is coming on down. And we say the church age messenger is coming on down as the seven candlesticks, which of course isn't biblical as to put our finger on it. But nevertheless, it bears out that God, who is one Spirit, has severally divided himself as to his understanding in a seven-dimensional thing, as from earth to glory. And that is to say, as Jacob with the pillar at Bethel saying, this is the very house of God, and the angels descending upon the ladder, and oh, would Jesus come to the fulfillment of it, the angels descending to and fro on Jesus to let us know the open doors at Calvary, and that these seven-dimensional steps as to understanding and transformation of mind and translation takes us right on into that heavenly place, right at the throne in the midst of those candlesticks where the Lord himself is in the midst of that light. That is to say that we, as an instantaneous thing, through faith in our spirit, is translated instantly into the marvelous kingdom of God. For the Bible said, God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of God. And then in our minds, as to the second part of his word, there is a transformation. The blood applied in Egypt as a translation of spirit, and we pass from death unto life. Cannot come into condemnation. And then from the Red Sea, as we say, typically speaking, over to the Jordan, to be carnally minded is death, as to the Jordan, as to the old tree of knowledge and the sentence of death because of your wrong understanding. No faith coming from it. The day that thou eatest thou shalt surely die. So then in this we see a transformation as a graduality of work all the way through our lifetime. And then after this we see an instantaneous thing. That's in Thessalonians, where we're changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The body itself is changed into a glorification. This is called a transfiguration, a translation, a transformation, a transfiguration. So then we know that God has got something for us, and that is the revelation of the Son of God. Not everybody's going to get this, because everybody can't understand this. And the Bible said the wicked shall not understand. Listen, beloved friend, the righteous will understand. Now you might say, well, there's some that can't understand, but if they believe, they'll go in. There is no such thing. The Bible said, and the righteous shall understand. The righteous shall understand. And the Bible said, the wicked shall not understand. For the God of this world, even Lucifer, has blinded their eyes, even their eyes of understanding, that they might not be able to see. Whereas your eyes being enlightened, you comprehend the height, the depth, the width, and the length of this great thing. So then the righteous shall understand, but the wicked shall not understand. If this salvation be hid, it be hid to them that are lost, even the children of this world that are in darkness. So then we see that we will understand. And this great, wonderful thing of God, higher, higher, in the school of wisdom, ever let me go. So we see this great, wonderful, mighty thing of God is taking place. It is something for the children of God. Things that I could say tonight, if it wasn't so tiring on the body, if it wasn't so tiring on your body, if it wasn't such a thing that we just can't seem to stay long enough, as in the days of Paul when he preached all night long. See, I could say things tonight that perhaps some of you know, perhaps some of you don't know, but things that would stir your soul tonight, because they are great and mighty things. And he said, if you ask of me, I'll show you things that you know not, great and mighty things that you know not. If you ask of me, I'll send that latter rain and make these beautiful clouds in your day. As to ministering angels, ministering spirits, to them that are heirs of salvation, camp round about them that love the Lord, to minister to them and for them, as it was where we've been down to the field of the shepherds, where the angel appeared saying, peace on earth, goodwill toward man. And so then there's something for God's people that will bring the joy. It will bring the joy. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't really know whether it will or not. I guarantee it. It'll bring the joy. There's no way that you could live without joy when you come into these things. Because the Bible said, serving God is joy, peace, and righteousness, and the Holy Ghost. And when you come to understand these things, then it brings an abundance of joy. And then your salvation is great and mighty, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The church has not lost God, but they've lost the joy. As David said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. See, they've lost the joy of serving God. That's why they want to sit around and watch the non-virtuous things on TV, read magazines, go to ball games, go to races, and go to these other things, because they've lost the joy. There is no joy in the church in serving God. And all the joy is in the flesh and doing things of the world. You understand what I'm saying? So then the joy then is taken away from the church because of the infiltration. But beloved friend, let me tell you something. When you learn what God has got for the church, when you enter into the mysteries of God and the greatness of God, you don't want to go down to the puny ball games. Like Paul said, the beggarly elements of this world, you desire again to be under bondage to those things. You don't want to go to those things. You don't have any time for those things. You're too busy being about the will of the Father. And you've got such a great future over there, the vacation that you're fixing to take and the place that you're fixing to see. You are so busy making preparations till you don't have any time for those things. Those are the beggarly elements of the world. That's for the children of the world. See, they have to have their things just like you have to have your thing. Now, it is not strange or odd that people of the world should go and enjoy those things, because it's the land of Esau, and we're passing through the land of Esau, and that's the joy of their living. That's the only inspiration they got to keep life in the earth, is to have to wallow in the passions of the flesh, or to conglomerate with the passions of the flesh, or to get into the sports of the world, whatever it might be. I'm just saying ball game, but I'm speaking in general of the sports of the world. See, what if they go? That's not strange. It is not strange that you should wake up in the morning and hear a rooster crowing. But it would be very strange if you awoke in the morning and heard a cat crowing. Isn't that right? Because the world loves the things of the world. And the Bible said, if you're of the world will love you. But if you're not of the world will hate you. Isn't that right? Because they hated me first. Why does the world hate you? Because all of your preaching, all of your teaching, all of your Christian living proves that this world is going to pass away. And the Bible said the world and the lust thereof shall pass away. But he that doeth the will of God shall abide forever. See, they know that you're talking about their world passing away. All of their plans passing away. Wherever their treasures are, that's where their heart is. They're putting all of their treasures, all of their time into this world to become great leaders and dignitaries and whatever. And you grieve them as it was the prophets in the days of the tribulation period where they say the things that they say in the Bible said the people will hate them. They gnashed on Stephen. They stoned him. Every person that stands for truth and of the gospel is a prick in their side, just like they are a prick in our side if we spare them. So then, where are we at? We're on the verge of the revealing of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Oh, somebody says, Brother Pike, we've got it. There ain't nothing else. I'm not here to dispute that with you and to argue with you. Folks, I've been on both sides of the fence. I know that there's something else. See, I know that there's something else. And he's saying, Brother Pike, everything has been made known. Everything is finished. As I said the other night, I hope God will kill me before I open my mouth to finish what I'm saying, if it isn't true. I have received hundreds of things, and thousands of things. I've received many multiplied things. But I've never heard any man speak. I've never read in a book. I've never found it anywhere. So help me God, that's the truth. And there's people in this audience who bear witness that they have done the same thing. Some of them, I know. See, God, if He didn't have anything for you that's new, except His mercy. The Bible said His mercy is new every day. God said, I will do a new thing. So then, there is a heavenly thing that is going to be revealed to the saints. And folks, if I talk to you about it tonight, some of you'd want to get up and walk out from under the tent, I'm sure. I feel reasonably sure. And some of you would be so happy and so joyful that it would change your life completely and you'd never be the same as long as you lived in this world. And let me tell you something, when you come into these things, a wind of doctrine isn't going to blow you away. Once you come into the revelation of the Son of God, you'll never be tossed to and fro again. Before I come into the revelation of God, many men said many things, great and mighty things, and great and mighty men as I traveled around the world. But beloved friend, when I came into the revelation of Jesus Christ, I saw it as bright as the noonday, as God turning on the light, and from that time on, I've never been shook again. I've never been moved again in my whole life. Because it's there. I mean, it's solid. It's on the rock. It's like the book tells it. It is the revealed Word of God. And nothing ever shakes it anymore after that. And did you know? There's a people that's coming into this. And when they come into it, that's going to bring the end of the world. And when the trumpet sounded, Revelation 10 and 7, and the Bible said, in the days of that voice, the mystery of God should be finished as He had declared unto His servant, the prophets. The mystery of God, the original rendering of it, is in that day the secret of God should be finished. Where the Bible said, and he that abideth under the shadow of the Almighty shall dwell in the secret place of the Most High, which makes me to know, as Paul taught types and shadows, or allegories. Then the veil, he said, that's over the face of the people, in the reading of the Old Testament, that veil is to the law that was over Moses' face, which veil remains today as to that intellectual infiltration that come through the fall in the garden coming from that tree and the Lucifer at the expulsion. That veil of death, to be carnally minded is death, blinding the eyes of the understanding, it remaineth over the face of the people even until this day, Paul said in his day, which veil is untaken. Undone away with, or it is taken away in Christ, or done away with in Christ. Even until His day, it remaineth even until my day. Which veil is done away with in Christ? When you come into Christ, and the veil begins to be done away with, like the sunlight that strikes the snow, and it melts away, and the undergrowth begins to reveal itself. So then someone would say, but Brother Pike, no one knows when that trumpet will sound. No one knows when it will sound. We don't know that it has sounded. We don't know that it will sound. or when it will sound. We do know that the Bible says, in the days of the voice. It's very obvious, Christian friend, there's no problem here. From the 8th chapter, after the church is gone up and the Jews are sealed, Paul said, if the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead? It is very obvious that 10 and 7 says, in the days of the voice, when he begins to sound, the mystery of God would be finished. And it's very obvious that if you read just a little past the 10th chapter, the 7th verse, the 11th chapter, and the 15th verse, it said, and the 7th angel sounded. Let's give God a hand, shall we? And the 7th angel sounded. So then he did sound. It's recorded in the book. And if you understand Revelation and the mysteries of God, you know as to the time of the sounding and what took place. Let's everybody stand together tonight. Just wanted to exhort you just a little bit. The Bible said exhort each other the more as we see the day approaching. And I wanted to exhort you just a little bit. I trust I've not held you too long. There is a revealing of the wonderful mysteries of God. Maybe tomorrow afternoon, if the Lord blesses us, have a few people to turn out, that maybe we will expound a little bit of the mysteries as to some of the things, the rudiments of the things that we're speaking of, and share just a few things with you before the tent goes down. We're only here 3 days. Tomorrow afternoon, I might remind you that our program will be coming on satellite tomorrow at 4 in the evening, Eastern Standard Time. Eastern Standard Time, I don't know what it would be over here. I guess it would be the same, perhaps. But anyway, it will be coming on. And then the following week, we won't be on till the following Sunday. But then that week, beginning on a Monday, we'll be on Monday through Friday every day about 5:30, and then on Sunday at 4 o'clock each week. All right, it covers all the North American continent, and we're hoping to be able to speak to some of the people and encourage them in the wonderful ways of God. So many wonderful things is taking place, and God is graciously blessing throughout the world. And people are beginning to get their eyes open to the last things that God is to do as to the translation of the church. I'm here tonight in Jeffersonville, not because of a meeting. As I said, I would not have come to Jeffersonville at this time, though I desire to come here. I enjoy coming here. But I wouldn't have come here at this time because of our schedule and the way that I feel. But by the revelation of the Son of God, I had to come here and set this tent. The Lord sent me here by revelation. It is here in Jeffersonville, Indiana, that it is a very typical place out of all the places of the world. And from here, God launched something years ago as the one of the greatest men that ever walked the earth. A prophet is never without honor, save in his own country, among his own people. And we who stand in the midst of the light when it's the brightest, we're the blindest. Sometimes it'll be a little farther away, we can see better. But out of the little place of Jeffersonville, Indiana, there went forth one of the greatest things that ever happened to humanity around the world. And one of the greatest men that ever walked from this area. Though he's departed and he's gone, has been gone for X amount of years, and we spoke of his departure, the man standing under the tent, I just heard him say amen a few minutes ago. He was in the areas of Florida, highly Florida, numbers of years ago, when we went to him and told him and told the wife and some of them that this great and mighty man of God that had to do with Jeffersonville was fixing to depart, was to go off of the scene. And there came a crash a little bit later. When the crash happened, the Lord spoke to me. I began to fast and pray for this man that God would spare his life. And God spoke to me and said, he will be taken just before Christmas Day, but I will spare his wife and his daughter. So I told my wife and some of the brethren, and it happened as it was just before Christmas Day dawned. So the Lord took him. This I saw because the revelation of Jesus Christ showed it. The revelation shows why he came, what his work was for, what this area was for. Many such like men and people around the world it so clearly have shown as we spoke of them. And here we are tonight in Jeffersonville, Indiana, because of the revelation of the Son of God. As to what it has to do with, just like it was shown then in many other things that were shown, then it was to come to this day, where we're here right now, having to do with the end of the world and the coming of the Lord. So, many things that we could say that would take all night long, just a few details of these things. And when the morning came, we would still need tomorrow. And when the day had ended, we'd still need the next night. And when the night had ended, we'd still need the next day. I'm speaking of a continuation without stopping. So help me God, that's the truth I want to say for the skeptics. The Bible said all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. And there's a lot of fools in the world, but I'd be the biggest one to stand and lie. After preaching around the world and lose my ministry and lose my life and lose everything else. But this is the truth. It would take just exactly that. It's little wonder that Paul, who came to the revelation of the Son of God, preached all night long. Though he'd studied all of his life, yet several years or more away in solitude, it took that long for God to reveal, to give to him the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right, let's sing a little chorus, sister. I want to say that I appreciate you being here with us. I trust that you'll come tomorrow. Tomorrow afternoon, it may be warm and uncomfortable under here. I could be uncomfortable now because when I minister, though I've not really ministered hard as I do sometimes. Here, I hadn't been that much as to emotion, you know. But I've been soaked. My clothing cleared down to my socks. So, we are here to talk about the wonderful things of God. I trust that you'll be out tomorrow and endure a little bit of hardness like a good soldier. I know that perhaps Sunday morning you'll be going to your church, and Sunday night you'll want to go to your church. And that's wonderful. You should be faithful to the cause. If they're preaching the gospel, you should do something about it, and if they're not, you don't need to run off and leave the church. You need to get the saints and excommunicate the minister. It is God's house, and you need to get the right kind of preacher in there. If you can't do that, if all of them done become a cage of unclean and hateful birds, then you need to change your place of listening. Faith by the hearing of the word. You may believe any kind of thing, but that doesn't mean you have faith. It was said not too long ago, I read it in the paper. It said, and on a certain day, people of all faith, they're coming together and they're going to worship. And it named the Catholics and the Protestants and the Buddhists and all kinds of people. I said, no, never be a day like that. I told my people from the sacred desk, I said, there will never be a day like that. I said, there is no such thing as all faiths. I said, there's one faith, one God, one baptism, and that's all. There is no such thing as all faith. One faith can come together. That's the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many religions might come together, but not all faiths. I said that to say this. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word, and the Bible said in the latter times, many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Past feeling. They can do anything anymore and still believe that they're saints of God. You love the Lord? Are you glad to be here tonight? Aren't you glad that you're children of God, saints of God, born of the great Spirit of God, born of Christ, being born of the Lord? His Spirit is with you wherever you go. And all things work together for good to them
them that love the Lord and those that are the called according to His purpose. So then tonight, God is with you. God is not with you from one revival to another revival, or from one prayer to another prayer, or from one effort to another effort. God is not with you like that. But He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. That means that the devil has no power over you. And He said, behold, I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. For greater is He within you than he that is within the world. God is with you. You're great and mighty people. I tell you that tonight, not really having the time to speak to you, to really bring the word like I'd like to. But I tell you that tonight that you might have confidence in what I'm saying. Because folks, I tell you the truth. Though you are a Christian and though you go to church regular, you still don't know who you are. And you don't know what you are. And you don't know what God has given to you. You don't know the power that's in your life and who you are. And you don't know the protection that you've got. The protection from Almighty God. You don't know how great and mighty are the people of God. As Solomon said, who can speak to so great a people? Great, mighty, mighty people. Great and mighty people of God. And we're here tonight to tell you how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy. Let's lift our hands up and love Him tonight. If you're here tonight and you've never made the great commitment unto God, let me encourage you to make it. Folks, let me encourage you to make it. The Bible said, I'm persuaded to believe, Paul said, that God is able to keep them which I've committed unto Him against that great day. Have you made the commitment tonight? If you've never made the commitment, let me encourage you to make it. Never made that commitment unto God, let me encourage you to make it tonight. Tonight's the time to come. If you're in the audience, we invite you to come to the altar. If you need prayer for your sick body tonight, we invite you to come up on the ramp. Step up on the ramp. Don't worry about the water. A little water won't hurt us. Some of us need to be fully baptized and we're just getting sprinkled. But tonight, we invite you to come. Would you like to come tonight? Surrender your heart to God. Would you like to come tonight? Would you like to be prayed for tonight? You know, the Bible teaches that if a man be a true minister of Christ, I know a lot of people in the world, a lot of people say they're preachers, and some of them are preachers. But the Bible teaches concerning the minister, the true minister of God, that he hath the power to bless. He hath the power to curse. Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. Whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. And whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. He tells us that whatever we bind on earth as saints will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And the Bible said that He is the minister of God. He is the revenger of God, set there to execute judgment upon them that do evil, or to bless them that want to do right. Tonight, give us a chance to bless you tonight. Give us a chance to bless you. We didn't come to kill, to curse people. A true man of God, that's the last thing that he'll do, is curse people. But he is commanded that if he goes into any place of the world, preaches the gospel, that them that receive him, Jesus said, they that receive him that I've sent receiveth me. And them that receive him, he's commanded to bless them. But them that reject him, he's commanded to shake the very dust off of his feet as the witness and a testimony against them in the day of the judgment. So tonight, give God a chance at your heart. While they're playing and singing, I'd like for my minister friends to come up on the platform. Could I get my ministers to come up here? You that are ministers, would you please come up on the platform tonight? Being in the ministry, you should be here to pray for the people. You should be ready on the very spur of the moment, in that the Bible said the king's matter requires haste. So that if you're in the ministry tonight, you're true minister of God, I invite you to come up, be on our platform tonight. And while these people come, we're going to pray. And while we pray, God's going to heal. Oh, you don't know. Yes, I know, because that's what he said. A lot of times you say, I wonder if that man's as good as his word. I can assure you that God's as good as his word. It's the same to 1,000 generations. If you want a blessing, then you can have a blessing tonight. While these brethren come around to pray, we're going to pray for these people. Brethren, can you come and let's pray tonight? While we sing and worship God.
Reach out and touch the Lord.
Can you reach out and touch
as
him? Let's pray and let's believe tonight for God to bless these people.
And you will find
Father Willie. Father God of heaven, as we pray for this sister tonight, whatever the desire of heart might be, you promised if we delight ourselves in the laws of the Lord, that you would give us the desires of our heart. So then we pray for the sister tonight. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Bless this baby tonight, Father. Bless these people. I feel the anointing right now. You said the anointing would break the yoke. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, Father. Bless these people. Bless Winford tonight, dear God. May thy spirit come down in a rich and in a wonderful way. May she believe, Father. Let her turn her faith to thee tonight, to believe in the salvation and healing of God. Satan, thy spirit of unbelief, the Lord rebuke thee in Jesus' name. Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus tonight, bless this little sister. May the Spirit of God be upon her in the power of the Lord. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee to let this sister go free. Father, we speak healing to this body, to faith, to this soul. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Come on, folks, we're here to praise the Lord. God inhabits the praise of his people. Let's praise God tonight. Father, bless this little sister tonight. Father, she comes forward for salvation, for healing, for deliverance and blessings. May she be blessed as she looks away to heaven. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee from this child in Jesus' name. Father, touch this sister tonight. May the Spirit of God be upon her. Father, to touch her, to heal her, to deliver her. God, may her spirit tonight bless. Bless this little one tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus. Touch this sister tonight. May the Spirit of God be upon them. I feel you healing tonight, and I feel you delivering tonight. Father, deliver out in the audience. Wherever there is a faith, Lord, wherever there's a person under this tent tonight that's believing, may the healing virtues of God come down and heal tonight. Father, touch this little girl tonight and heal her little body in the name of Jesus. Touch this little sister tonight. May the Spirit of God be upon her, Lord, to touch her and heal her tonight. May thy spirit be upon the sister. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee tonight. Let this faith go out to God. In the name of Jesus, I feel the anointing, Father, breaking the yoke. Father, touch this little girl tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus. Touch these precious little children in Jesus' precious name tonight, Father. Touch this sister tonight. May thy spirit be upon her tonight. Lord, break the yoke. Let her look away to Christ tonight. Satan,
The Lord rebuke thee tonight in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Heal and save in Jesus' wonderful name. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Can you praise the Lord tonight? Father, touch this sister in the wonderful name of Jesus. Father, heal and save and deliver tonight. Father, give us these healings in Jesus' name tonight. May thy power be upon these people to heal in Jesus' name tonight. Father, heal and save and forgive. In the wonderful name of the Son of God, I ask you to do it. In Jesus' name tonight, in Jesus' name tonight, heal and save and forgive in the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Father, heal this body. Strengthen this body in the lovely name of Jesus. May faith go out to God tonight. Folks, lift up your faith. Father, let faith go out tonight in these hearts that you might heal and save tonight. Father, heal and save in the wonderful name of Jesus tonight. May your spirit be here. May the blessings of God be upon these people. May the power of God be here tonight as we lay hands upon these people. Father, heal, save, and forgive in the wonderful name of Jesus. I ask you to do it. Father, heal and save and forgive in the wonderful name of Jesus. Heal, my Father, tonight. Father, heal and save and forgive in the wonderful name of Jesus. Father, heal these people tonight. Bless them. Fill them with your spirit. Oh, God, and heal, save, and forgive in the wonderful name of Jesus. Take away every condemnation. Heal and save in Jesus' name. Father, lift up faith tonight. May faith go forth from these hearts tonight. In the wonderful name of Jesus, I ask you to heal, my Father, to save tonight. May your blessings be here. Touch these little ones tonight. Touch Misty. Touch the little sister in Jesus' name. Father, touch the sister tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus. I ask you that every yoke be broken. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee tonight. This faith be lifted up, Father, to Christ, to his glory, to his mercy and love in the wonderful name of Jesus. Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus, may thy spirit be here tonight. May you heal and deliver in Jesus' precious, wonderful name. I ask you to heal tonight, Father. Touch these people tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus. Heal and save in the wonderful name of Jesus tonight. I ask you to do it. Touch this body, dear wonderful God. Bring a special blessing to this heart tonight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, touch this sister tonight. May there be a special blessing, dear wonderful God, upon this body tonight. Satan, thy troubling spirit, I adjure thee by God. Leave this body. We speak peace and healing to this body in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, touch this sister tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus. Give strength. I know that you're doing it. I feel her faith right now. Hallelujah. Father, heal and save, forgive. God, give strength to this body. Lord, for the work of the service of Christ, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, heal this body tonight. Give strength tonight to this body. Oh, God, I know that you'll do it. Father, that we can serve you in the beauty of holiness. Father, bless this person tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus. I ask you to touch him in the wonderful name of Jesus tonight. Bless him with your precious spirit, Heavenly Father. God, heal tonight. God, save tonight. God, forgive tonight. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Lift up your faith in God tonight. Can you praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, touch this body. Heal in the name of Jesus. Bring the spirit and power into this life. Lift the faith up. Bless this little one tonight, Father. Father, lift up faith tonight. Father, touch my brother tonight. Lift his faith up in the wonderful name of Jesus. Mighty Holy Ghost of God, fill this body tonight. Let him feel the presence of God. Father, heal in the wonderful name of Jesus. I ask you to heal tonight. Father, heal this body tonight. Strengthen these nerves tonight. Father, strengthen this sister. In the name of Satan, the Lord rebuke thee tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Touch this sister in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ tonight. Hallelujah. Touch this little boy in Jesus' name. Touch this sister in the wonderful name of Jesus tonight, Father. Father, may your spirit rest upon them tonight. Lift up the faith. Lift up the faith in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Father, heal tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Father, heal tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus. Save. Give the sister the desire of her heart for her home, dear wonderful God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
If in my heart I can believe, overcome someday,
and we'll walk those streets of gold.
We're gonna walk those streets of gold.
We'll walk those streets of gold.
Can you say, I love you, Jesus?
We'll shake the Savior's hand.
We'll shake the Savior's hand.
Gonna shake the Savior's hand.
Spirit and thy blessing rest upon this man.
Oh, now we'll.
May your blessings come into his heart.
Oh, we'll
find peace.
Oh,
and be delivered.
Overcome.
The Lord
will
stand in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name.
I can believe.
Walk on streets of gold someday.
Are you glad you're here? Let's praise the Lord. Lift your hands up and praise the Lord. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Let's sing that little chorus, Sister Dale.
Going to enter God's gates with thanksgiving in our heart. Going to enter into God's courts with praise. I'm going to say this is the day that the Lord has made. Gonna rejoice, cause Jesus made me glad.
Can you sing it, David?
Oh, now he has made me glad.
Oh,
Jesus made me glad.
And I'm gonna
rejoice, cause Jesus made me glad.
Oh, Jesus makes me glad.
Oh, Jesus makes me glad.
And I'm gonna rejoice, cause Jesus made me glad.
Let's sing it together now.
Oh, we will enter into his gates with thanksgiving in our heart.
And we will
enter into his courts with praise.
We're going to
say this is the day that the Lord,
hallelujah,
I'm going to rejoice.
Can you sing it with us? Sing it with us, folks.
Oh, now Jesus made us glad.
Oh, Father, Jesus makes
me glad. In the wonderful name of Jesus,
I'm going to rejoice, cause Jesus.
May every yoke be broken. May the joy of Christian living.
Jesus makes me glad.
Enter into this.
Oh, Jesus makes me glad.
May thy spirit.
And I'm going to rejoice, cause Jesus makes me glad.
In a great and in a wonderful way.
Satan,
will I?
The Lord rebuke thee, Satan.
In
Jesus Christ's name. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord.
Where the anointing is,
the yoke breaks. I can tell that God is breaking the yoke tonight.
Morning, noon, or night, I'll be dressed in spotless white.
Are you ready for the bridegroom to come?
Sing it with us now.
Well, are you ready for the bridegroom to come?
Are you ready for the bridegroom to come?
So be it morning, noon, or night,
we're all dressed in spotless white,
and we're ready for the bridegroom.
Can you sing it again?
Oh, are you ready for the bridegroom to come?
Are you ready for the bridegroom to come?
Be it morning, noon, or night,
we're all dressed in spotless white,
and I'm ready for the bridegroom.
sing that again. Folks, this meeting in Jeffersonville, Indiana, has to do with the coming of the bridegroom and the midnight cry. You know why.
Hallelujah!
Be it morning, noon, or night, we're all
dressed in spotless white,
and I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Sing it again. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to heal tonight, forgive tonight, deliver tonight. Move the troubling spirit. Move the condemnation. Bring joy unspeakable and full of glory. The wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I felt the yoke break. For the bridegroom to come. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come?
Morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white,
and we're ready for the
one more time together.
Oh, I'm ready for the bride. Oh, I'm ready, said the trumpet would sound. As we sing, oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, ready for the bridegroom to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white. One more time, folks. One more time. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom
to come.
Hallelujah.
Oh, are you
ready for the bridegroom to come? Oh, be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white. Ready for the bridegroom to come.
Just one more time.
Ready for the bridegroom to come.
Give him a wave offering, full.
Yes, I'm ready for the bridegroom
to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready for the bridegroom to come.
Hallelujah.
And time shall be no more. And time shall be no more. For the angels shall stand on the sea and the land. And time shall be no more.
Sing it again.